Okay. 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 So now you know. You can take it home and let it just tear you apart. Yeah, in privacy, Ryan. I've got all this good stuff right here. I have all this that I put together for today, and it's just about to go out the window. Wow. Thank you all. And I want you to know that these four people had not played all together as a unit until rehearsal today. So... here's the thing. First of all, I'm just going to say hi again. It's been 3 weeks and I missed you. Hey. God is right here. Everywhere, in its fullness, right here in every spot, in every moment. That's a hard thing for our tiny little feeble human brain to wrap itself around, but it's the truth. God is everywhere in its wholeness, present, all the time. And the thing that we get to experience is God expressing through people, through life, so that we see it. You just saw it. You heard it when we were singing James Taylor together. Well, now I know, not James Taylor, but James Taylor's cover. And here's what is going on in this community. I've had 3 weeks for this to build up, so hang on. This community is full of people who are willing to have and listen to the voice of God and the vision of God and then to bring it forth and live it. This community is full of that. You think that this spiritual economics thing is about money? No. Money's one piece of it. And the back of it, the little intro, can sound kind of like, no offense to Tony Robbins, but can kind of sound like a Tony Robbins course. That's not it. Or Napoleon Hill, who kind of took all that and took it out in a powerful direction. It's not that. Spiritual economics is about taking the economics of your resources and figuring out what you're going to do with them. Are you going to spend your resources well or aren't you? Are you going to squander them? Are you going to hide them? Are you going to ignore them? Are you going to be afraid of them? Are you afraid to be great in the world because that's what you were created to be? Are you afraid of that? And I know that maybe every introvert in the room went, yes, I am. It doesn't mean being big. It means being big. It means being big in your own life and bringing forth that which is only yours to bring forth. Only yours. Nobody else can bring forth out of the substance of God like you can. Nobody else can do that. Nobody else can give generously knowing that you're going to receive back more in your life than you gave. That is a law that doesn't make any sense. And it's absolutely true. So if you're trying to make sense out of it, stop. Because you won't be able to do it because you can't outthink and you can't outgive what God has to give through you to the world give to you to enrich you. You can't outgive that, and you can't explain it away. Okay? I'm saying this very forcefully so you'll believe it. Because it's true. Betty,
yes.
You had a vision one time about that supper club, didn't you?
Early morning.
Mm-hmm.
Reading a cooking magazine.
Okay, early morning reading a cooking magazine. So just a regular morning reading a cooking magazine. And what came out of that is our supper club on the first Friday of every month that takes us around the world and through different cultures and brings us together in a way that is unique and satisfying, and it's profitable. My goodness. And everybody has fun. The work of God, the creating, the out picturing of your vision is fun. Listen, we have this building right here that's our church. This is our church. And I understand that for a long time people didn't call it church. They called it, this is our spiritual community. And we come to Sunday talks at this building that we don't call church. It's a church, for heaven's sake. I mean, it's a spiritual center, okay. I mean, if you're afraid of saying the word church, what's up with that? You know, this is a church building. And I've seen church buildings all over the world. And it doesn't matter if it's a Muslim church or a mosque. It doesn't matter if it's a Jewish church, which is a synagogue. It doesn't matter if it's a Christian church, which is church. They're holy places. They're holy places. They're places where the feet of pilgrims have left sacred footprints, just like you do every single Sunday. So here we are in this community together. And what I'm seeing more and more is that we're wanting to take what we have on the inside and make it show up here on the outside. And so what happens is we have staff that is consistently striving for excellence in everything that we do, finding new ways and ways to listen and ways to encourage each other so that we can bring forth more of the good that is already present. And wow, we got, she left. Evie, who was sitting right there, thank you, Kelly, your imaginary wife. We have a vision of having an uplifting environment here by the way it appears. Do you know, I've been in cathedrals all over Europe and I thought stained glass and, you know, honoring God by building these enormous tall things. And then you've heard me tell this before. And then I went to La Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. And I experienced a different kind of beauty. And it was a place that was not like any church or cathedral I'd ever been in my life. And it had a ceiling, it had a roof above it, but I felt like I was in an infinite space. It felt like it opened up to the heavens. And my son put it the best, because he's well-traveled too. He was with me on the trip. David said, Mom, you know, it seems to me like every other cathedral I've been in has been about the people who built it. But this place feels like it's about God. And that's because Gaudí had a vision that could not be stopped. As a matter of fact, he's been gone for over 100, almost 100 years, and the building is still going on. It's not a complete work yet. Now, I want to tell you that in our Wednesday night class on spiritual economics, I don't think once we mentioned the word money. We talked about substance. And here's something that we did the other night that I want you to do right now. Just roll with me on this. And if you want to go away today and say, yeah, I go to that woo-woo church, that's fine with me. I want you just to take your hands. You don't have to do anything special. I just want you to take your hands. Think about the energy that's flowing through all these cells in your hands. And I want you just to take them, and I want you to start bringing them together until your hands feel the energy of each other. Feel that energy ball you're holding in your hands. Do you feel it? Can you, if you can't, can you pretend like you do? Now I want you to, it's okay. An energy ball, you know, play with it at home. And see how far out you can make that energy ball grow. This is one tiny, easy for our little human brain to understand manifestation of substance. The ocean in which we swim, the ocean of infinite potential. Do you know what Charles Fillmore, a co-founder of Unity, do you know what he called sin? I want to get the words exactly right here. It's the frustration of potentiality. Yeah, I thought you might do that. It's the frustration of potentiality. That's sin. That means if you're not in the process right now of allowing more of God to come through you than went through you a month ago, then it's time to start gathering up your energy and seeing what's next. Now, lest you become discouraged, lest you are brokenhearted today and feel like there is nothing that could come forth from your brokenness. Beloved, I would say that's one of the best times for something to come forward. God's time is all the time. If you ever feel like saying, well, when am I going to be done? When you die, I mean, that's when you're done. And then even then you're not done. You're just done with this part. So where is the vision of your life coming forth? God can only live through us as much as we allow it to happen. The only thing that stops God from expressing through us is us. I'll tell you a spiritual discipline that I've been practicing, just so you'll know that just because I'm standing here doesn't mean I don't have challenges every single day. So I had a bad day Friday. And I decided, well, okay, I can stay here in this very justifiable bad place I'm in. I got lots of good reasons to stay right here feeling sorry for my own self. Because nobody else is going to feel sorry for me, so I had to do double duty. I thought, I can do that and feel my energy contracting down into this hard little knot. Or I could remember that the substance of God is everywhere present in its entirety all the time, and I am living and breathing in it, and God is everything. And I belong, I am, I live in God. I could do that. So I did. And suddenly the perspectives all changed. And I had a little more patience, had a little more peace, a lot more peace. I had to practice it yesterday. I was feeding my son Snake. And he missed, and he got me, and it was a good one. He doesn't have fangs. He has, you know, grippers. It's a constrictor, so you just use your imagination. Anyway, he got hold of me, and my instinctive response was, not anything I could say right here, but I immediately jerked my hand backwards, and he came right along with me, which kind of freaked him out. And so I was like, get in there. And it makes these little snake bites, they make you bleed like crazy. I mean, it looks way worse than it actually is. But I have a nice little bruise to remind me of my encounter with a snake where we both scared each other really, really badly. And so this morning I was like, hi, Monty. I was patting the tank, not the snake. Hi, Monty, how are you today? And he's like, I'm in my rock, I'm not talking to you. But even in that, I could have been mad at the snake. I could have been mad at the circumstance. This is a small example. I can't show you the finger because it's the wrong one for me to show you. But I'll show you out and show and tell after the service, okay? My friends, here's the thing that we want to do. We want to participate with God. And I'll just ask you if today's talk was called The Practice of Thriving. So let me just ask you if you want these things, because I'm going to read the definition of thriving. Prospering, it's being fortunate or successful. It's to grow or develop vigorously, to flourish, to bloom, to blossom, to do well, to advance, to make strides. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So the next few weeks, we're going to go a little bit deeper, or you can stay in the familiar, comfortable place that will not have you go any farther than you am today. Got big degrees to talk like that. We are living in the substance of God. The substance of God is the untapped potential. We're living in it. Substance comes from substare in the Latin, which means to stand under. We're living in that all the time. I remember the first time I thought about that, and it was kind of like, wow. It's kind of like, think of yourself as being in this beautiful, glowing jello that we can shape into what we want our life to be. We can give of ourselves in order to see just how much more comes back to us. Because we cannot outgive. We cannot outpicture more than God can give back to us. You heard Evie tell the story of the sweet person who was fine with her little boy running into her. Just that one little exchange, do you see what it's produced? That one moment of graciousness. Oh my goodness. It requires our participation. God will come through us as much as we will let God. To be affluent means to have abundant flow in your life, no matter what that is. If that is money, if that is love, if that is a great garden, whatever your idea of abundant flow is. This is not about expecting a miracle. I don't want you to use that phrase, expect a miracle, because that would be saying that God's goodness is something that happens like magic. No, it happens because it is the law. It's not a miracle. It's only a miracle because we don't pay attention enough, because they're happening all the time. I want you to say this back to me. Listen, God is my instant, constant, and abundant source of supply. God is my instant, wait. I want you to get these words all the way down in you before you say them, because I don't want you to say them unless you mean them. God is my instant, constant, and abundant source of supply. Now, together. God is my instant, constant, and abundant source of supply. You got it? This is where we start. This is where we start. Next week, we're going to start talking about the imprisoned splendor in you. But for now, I'm going to talk about this much to take you to a place where you can be silent. And when you're in your silence, I would like for you to live, breathe, have all of your being in God's abundance. So take a deep breath in and know that God's substance is that which you are breathing and that which is activating your body. God's substance is that which energizes your hands where you could feel that ball of energy. God's substance is that which brings you ideas that you never had before. And God's substance, it's what keeps you going on the days when you'd rather not. God's substance is that which creates the beautiful and the unexpected and the perfect blessing that touches your life. So just for a moment, I want you just to breathe. That's all. And if you wander away, come back to your breath, because we're just going to be silent for a moment. Even now, beloved, God is working in and through you as you to reveal things to you, to illuminate you, to show you in small and in great ways how your life can be more abundant. How your life might be less than just living, turned into thriving. And if there is not hope in that idea, then where else shall we find it? So, wait upon God. The source of all. For your sweetest blessings yet to be. And we declare it to be so right now. And so it is. Amen.